Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. About once a week, we like to bring in an expert, open the phone lines, and our listeners have at it. Today, it's Ask an Expert, the Canine Edition. Just for fun. Annie Grossman is co-founder of School for the Dogs, a dog behavioral training school in Manhattan. So, Team All of It, if you have a question about your dog, you can give us a call at 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. Annie, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So we've been talking, you know, I just want to get this out of the way because I'm pretty sure we're going to have somebody call in and ask about COVID-19 and coronavirus and our dogs. Mm-hmm. Just give us the latest.
Yeah, from what I understand, and I did a webinar on this the other day that I can reference with Dr. Lisa Littman, who's a vet. I'm not a vet. But from what I understand, the worry is more that we could catch it from our dogs and our dogs getting sick themselves. So if you're avoiding going to large places, if places filled with a lot of people, you know, probably good to have your dog avoid avoid that too.
But there's been nothing that says that dogs can necessarily get it or not. But I think a lot of people, you know, they think about it makes them think, oh, what is my dog actually bringing in the house on a regular basis, especially New Yorkers. Is there anything that we should be doing, you think, in terms of health? Not COVID, but just in terms of health, about keeping our dogs' paws clean after walks?
That's such a good question. You know, so much of the training that we do at School for the Dogs is helping dogs feel good about husbandry behaviors, about the things that we have to do for them, taking them to the things that they're going to experience at the vet, things that they're going to experience at the groomer, and teach them to feel good about those experiences and have good feelings, good associations, because it's just going to make for happier lives for everybody. So wiping feet, for example, on, you know, a wet wipe is something you can train a dog to do. And yeah, I mean, when I think about the fact that like my dog like sits on my pillow before I go to sleep, it's pretty disgusting.
Do you need to use a specific wipe? Because you might have somebody decide, I'm going to use hand sanitizer on my dog.
You know what? I don't want to give my opinion on that because I'm not sure. I have noticed that grooming wipes for dogs are a lot more expensive than baby wipes for babies. So I don't know if that's because they have a different audience or just different ingredients.
What about people who want to put booties on their dogs?
You know, people put booties on their dogs for all kinds of reasons. The fact that they don't want their paws to get dirty outside. I don't think it's a bad idea. Mm-hmm. And that, too, is something you can train your dog to not hate, and certainly keep your apartment less gross.
Someone on my staff asked if it was cruel to put the booties on because some dogs look like they just want to shake them right off.
Absolutely. And I don't know if I go so far as to say it's cruel, but I think you want to be sensitive to the fact that you need to acclimate your dog to wearing a boot, having a boot put on, all of that. And, you know, so much of the work with puppies, you know, that we do is like socialization, helping your dog create good associations with all the things they're going to need to know about, live about. Putting on shoes might be one of those things.
My guest is Annie Grossman from School for the Dogs. We've got Susan calling in from NIAC. Hi, Susan. What's your question?
Hi. I've got an approximately 9-year-old Staffordshire Terrier who I've raised since she was a puppy, and she grew up being very comfortable around other dogs. And then we had a series of incidents where off-leash dogs attacked her on leash, and she was also attacked in a dog park. And so now it's always very questionable trying to introduce her to new dogs. She has a couple of lifelong dog friends she's really good with, but now I'm trying to figure out how to safely introduce her to new dogs.
Susan, this is I have the exact, almost the exact same story with my Norfolk Terrier.
Right, and I was just going to say, Allison and I met because of your Rocco, who's adorable Norfolk. Do you know the difference between a Norwich and a Norfolk?
Norwich
have the ears up like a witch. Rocco was having a similar issue, being you know, what we call reactive to dogs on the street after being attacked. Mm-hmm. And this is not a small problem. I can think of so many horror stories of dogs on leash often being attacked by other people's off-leash dogs. And it can lead to lifelong trauma, you know, a kind of like PTSD. If you want to think about it in human terms, for a dog like yours who is on the older side, I would say, honestly, you know, I would work on making sure she gets lots of really good social experiences with dogs that she knows. And if you're going to introduce her to new dogs, do so gingerly and at a distance. I would probably not bring her to dog parks or places where she's going to have where there's a lot of unknown variables. You know, just like an anxious person in any situation, having sort of like a regimented life without lots of surprises is going to make you feel largely better. And with Rocco, we were talking, Rocco's issues with other dogs on the street, he was also attacked. He was on leash at the time.
He was, yeah.
Oh, it's so awful, so scary. But, you know, it's just another reason why I think it's important for everybody to watch other dogs and like sort of begin to read other dogs' body language, because that's a way that we can help keep our dog safe. But a dog like Rocco, it's for him, he's a little bit younger. Mm-hmm. He has to go out for walks, right? Nyack, I'm guessing, maybe don't have to walk her all the time. For him, because we can't avoid taking him out for walks, Anna, the trainer that Allison was working with, was saying was you want to feed that dog something delicious every time you pass another dog, whether it's at 20 feet or 2 feet. And that's going to help create the association. You know, other dogs must not be such a bad thing, because it means I get something good from Allison. And it's also going to encourage the behavior of checking in with you whenever they see another dog.
And it has been really working, Susan. That's so awesome. I can attest to it. Let's go to Carl. Good luck, by the way. Let's go to Carl in Manhattan. Hi, Carl. Thanks for calling.
Thank you for having me. So I have a 14-month-old Labradoodle that was fully house trained. And with no change in diet or any, and gets walked a lot, and all of a sudden, she's pooping in the middle of the night. Over the last 10 days to 2 weeks, I don't know why she's doing that. I can take my answer offline.
Thanks, Carl.
Let's talk about dog poop.
Okay. Why not?
Well, I mean, my first suggestion would be take her to the vet, because if you're seeing some sort of behavior change that is happening suddenly, and you know, especially something like poop, which is affected by what goes in, right? And if you haven't changed what's gone into her mouth, chances are the behavior of pooping is being caused by a need to poop, and which probably has some kind of cause inside of her body. So I would say get her checked out by a vet. You know, a lot of times people with young dogs use crates, and one of the big reasons to use a crate is because usually dogs don't pee and poop in their crate. So you sort of have the opportunity right when they get out to put them outside or wherever you want them to go. So you could also try using the crate. But again, my spidey sense says this might be a health problem.
Let's go to Christina from Tenafly. I think this question is going to appeal to a lot of people who live in apartment buildings. Hi, Christina. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I'm calling because I recently adopted a dog. He's about 1 year old. And I work from home, and he's a great companion, but, you know, I make a lot of calls throughout the day, and, you know, if he sees a squirrel outside or the mailman or the UPS truck, he just freaks out and starts barking. And I'm not quite sure how to handle that. Obviously, he's a dog. He has to bark, but is there a way for me to train him or something to do so that, you know, he doesn't get so uptight so quickly all the time?
Yeah, great question. Yes, I've heard people ask this question before. And, you know, I think at School for the Dogs, our approach is sort of holistic, like looking at the whole picture. And first of all, we have to acknowledge the fact that dogs were bred to bark. Dogs were bred to basically be our alarm systems for, you know, hundreds of years. And now we put them in these highly stimulating situations like our apartments. It's not always easy for them. So the behaviors that they're doing aren't necessarily bad. They're just not appropriate for right now. I think the most important thing to think about is how you can give him more appropriate jobs. You know, how can you help him use his time and his energy to focus on something that is going to be a lot less annoying? So we're at School for the Dogs. We're always talking about feeding and toys, puzzle toys, toys that sort of force your dog to like engage their brain and maybe their paws and their tongue in order to burn that excess. And you have the opportunity to do that every time you feed your dog by using, you know, a kind of puzzle toy. We have a bunch at our shop, but you know, it could be as simple as like dribbling dry food into an ice cube tray. right? Giving him a little bit more of a job than is normal. Beyond that, I would say try and create as quiet an environment in your home as you can. That might mean white noise machine. That might mean like putting a sticky strip under the door, like a door sweep strip. You know, it also could mean putting something like an opaque like screen over the window, so your dog can't see out as much. Part of, like I was talking about anxiety, you know, part of his behavior might be caused by the unpredictable nature of looking out the window and seeing cars coming and going or hearing people in the hallway coming and going. So if you can make his environment a little bit more chill by spending, you know, $10 at the hardware store, like take that path. And then beyond that, you know, you can try and create new associations so that he has a new idea of like behaviors that he can engage in when he's excited. So if you hear someone in the hallway, you know, go to the kitchen and give him something in the corner so that he, again, it's just so much of it is about those associations. You want him to be like, there's someone in the hallway, I'm going to run in the kitchen now because something is going to be good there.
My guest is Annie Grossman, co-founder of School for the Dog. She is our expert for the day. If you have a question, the number is 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. Gabrielle's been holding for a little while. Hey, Gabrielle, calling from Maplewood. Thanks for holding.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, thanks, Allison. So my question is, I have a standard poodle that's 8 years old, and he's pretty well-trained. He's a pretty good dog, and I'm trying to adopt a wire fox terrier because we have to have a hypoallergenic, and I'm trying to not go to a breeder. I'm trying to do an adoption. And the person that I'm dealing with is really giving me a lot of pushback because she's sort of saying that wire fox terriers are very difficult to train, and if I've never had any experience with them, that I shouldn't jump into it, and that they have these quirks that come out when they're like 1 or 2 years old that are almost impossible to deal with. So what is your feeling on wire fox terriers? Are they like really that impossible to train?
Really good question. Before we went on, I was talking about how much I love terriers. But, you know, overall, I'm not much of a breedist. You're gonna hear me say very few like grand generalizations about specific kinds of breeds. I think we really need to look at dogs as individuals that might have certain traits that relate to certain breeds. But overall, you know, before they're a terrier or a poodle or, you know, a Great Dane or whatever, they're dogs. And more than that, they are animals. And we are animals. And that's what I think is so much fun about training is because it's kind of like a dollhouse version of like dealing with animal behavior, something we know about because we're in that realm too. So all of that is to say, I would hesitate to pin, you know, the word difficult on any specific kind of breed. That said, you know, some people in rescue have very high standards about who they're giving their dogs to, and I would try and either look elsewhere for another kind of dog, because there are certainly enough dogs out there who are up for adoption. But I don't think that's because it's a wire terrier. It's just because maybe this person is giving you a hard time. I think dog training shouldn't be really hard, and it should be, in most cases, I think it should be fun and should make a lot of sense. And if someone's saying a certain kind of dog can't be trained, dogs of a certain age can't be trained. The other thing is, you know, trained is not like one final thing that you're looking for. Like, it's not like they are now a trained dog and they're done and baked, right? Training is happening all the time. Animals are learning all the time. So, you know, a lot of the time it's just about sort of adjusting the way you're thinking about the way in which your dog is learning. It's not about some sort of like magical language that's only going to work with you know, a certain breed of dog. Does that make sense?
It does. Thank you so much. Thanks for calling, Gabrielle. Our number is 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. I'm speaking with Annie Grossman, co-founder of School for the Dogs. I do have a couple questions I want to slide in before I get to some of my listeners. You know, what do you think about, or maybe you can give us some advice on dogs in the subway.
Mm-hmm.
We now know that if you put your dog in a bag, you can bring him on or her on the subway. Some people flout this rule and they just walk their dogs on the subway.
Mm-hmm.
What's the safest thing for your puppy?
I like how you phrase that. What's the safest thing for your puppy? Because what's legal and what's not legal is is a tricky question. Have you seen the meme of Sally Longdog in a
IKEA bag?
In an IKEA bag. She's one of our students. I love that. You know, I often suggest people get their dog used to being in a bag from an early age, even if you have a big dog, because frankly, it does make getting around in New York City a lot easier. And we have people who have dogs that are, you know, 70, 80 pounds who get them into backpacks like the Canine Sport Sack or mm-hmm. like just get like a really big like boat and tote kind of bag and teach the dog to feel comfortable getting in that, which is actually kind of like a fun like dog training shaping exercise. When you have a puppy, also a lot of the time people don't want to let their puppy down on the street because of all the things that they can get, like we were just talking about. But you know, you can carry your puppy around in a bag. I hope we've gotten past the sort of like Paris Hilton image of like if you have a dog in a bag, it's mm-hmm. like an accessory. No, if you have a dog in a bag, it means you're socializing the dog. It means you're teaching the dog about all the things they need to know about, but also keeping the dog safe. So if you are going to bring a dog in the bag, condition your dog to feel good about being in a bag. I'm sorry, if you are going to bring your dog on the subway, condition your dog first to feeling good about being in a bag. And that can be as simple as like bringing your dog's regular meal with you when you're on the subway. You know, like I was saying, I'm always thinking in terms of how dogs are learning all the time and how we feed them and when we feed them. You know, so often we're missing opportunities where we could be training them. That same bowl of kibble given on the subway is going to teach your dog something, you know, maybe helpful, whereas your dog doesn't need to learn more about like how great it is to be in your kitchen at home.
Let's go, as long as we're talking mm-hmm. about travel, Diane from Inglewood has a question about cars. Mm-hmm. Hi Diane, thanks for calling.
Hi, thanks so much. I'm hoping you could help me out. Mm-hmm. I have a 5.5 year old hound that mm-hmm. I rescued, and she seems to want to get in the car most eagerly. And when I do put her in the car, the first few instances, she literally destroyed my car where she tore up the side panel of a car. And I said, well, I guess I have to get a crate for the car. So I got a crate for the car, and she barks incessantly. Like I've tried to put her in trips to go somewhere, and she just like literally all her saliva goes all over every place. She's just hyper, and I don't know what to do.
Have you used the crate outside of it in the car?
Yeah, I had the crate where she's eager to get in the crate and she's happy, and I had it in the house, and I put the crate just to train her to get in the crate, and then I put the crate in the car, and it's just the whole thing of the car.
But she wanted to go in the car before that.
Literally one time she bolted in the car and refused to come out. She got like, it was like ferocious.
She's got strong.
She's not an aggressive dog, but yet she just didn't want to come out.
I think if it's possible, first of all, I would suggest getting your dog psyched to be in the crate in your home over a period of time, so that it's not just an occasional thing. It's like, oh, all my meals come in the crate. That's going to help her feel good about being in the crate in general. Separately, I think you could also get her feeling good about being in the car for maybe like short bursts. So if you're going to be putting her in the crate in the back of the car, try just like, you know, putting her in the back of the car without the crate, you know, maybe giving her a couple treats, making that kind of like a regular thing. I think the more often that you do it, the less, and especially the more often you do it without the car even moving, the less scary and exciting it's going to be. It's just going to become something that you do a little bit every day, and you can build up to doing full trips with the crate in the car. Reminder, if you're not going to have your dog in a crate in the car, you should always be using a dog seatbelt.
Question for you. We talked about it in the intro and one of our teases. You're not that crazy about pictures of dogs on Instagram. Can you explain why?
As a teaching tool, I'm actually kind of a fan. But so many of the times we see pictures of dogs on Instagram and the dogs are displaying signs of discomfort. You know, a really common one is seeing a dog licking their lips. You know, that kind of lip licking lick, their tongue sticking out. And this is a tongue flick. This is something dogs generally do when they're a little bit uncomfortable. It's a signal they give to each other. It's a signal they give to us. It's not a big, bad, like, dirty thing, but it happens. You know, my dog does it all the time. If, like, a plate drops on the floor, I'll see him, you know, in the corner licking his lips. It's, you know, akin to so many displacement behaviors where, like, the energy doesn't know where to go and this is somehow, like, where it's going in some sort of soothing way. Displacement behaviors in people are, like, when we jump up and down when we're excited. Like, it doesn't really serve a purpose. It's just, mm-hmm. like, the energy has to go somewhere. Yawning is another one. And, you know, these are things people post pictures of because it's, you know, maybe cute. But it's not actually helping people. It shows that people are just blind to sort of some basic things dogs are telling us. Another problem with videos on social media is that they often encourage people to think that dogs need to be acting like humans or something. You know, like the dog pushing the rocking chair, right? That which is like a viral video that's gone around. Like, yeah, it's cute, but you know, like dogs do lots of cute things that aren't necessarily human human like.
Yeah, you guys are really into the dogs are dogs.
Dogs
let
are
them
dogs.
Be them who they are.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, it's easy for us to project our stuff onto them. You know, and another funny, I was talking to your producer about it. Like in dog parks, you know, so much projection going on. People talking to each other through their dogs, you know, saying like, "Lucy, how dare you take her bone? You like,
when you're like, hey, buddy, take care of your dog."
Yeah, you're like,
our phone lines are full. We're gonna have to have you come back, Annie.
I'd love to.
Got a lot of questions for you. Thank you so much for sharing all your expertise. Annie Grossman is co-founder for School for the Dogs.